The New Channel Hashtag TNC Now
The views, opinions, and insights expressed in the following shows are those of the host, producers, guests, and viewers. They do not necessarily reflect the position of the channel. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, and welcome to The New Channel. Our passion transforms a community that sees and shares all things new. This is Dr. Michelle Maross streaming live from Colorado Springs, Colorado, USA. You're watching Mental Shift on TNC. Welcome to Mental Shift. My name is Dr. Michelle Maross, and today I have this amazing guest. I'll tell you about him in just a second. But what we do here on Mental Shift is we interview entrepreneurs and business owners about what they do, why they do it, and what mental shift did they have in their life that brought them to what they're doing today. And today we have Robin, let's see if I say your name, Sharian. Did I say that right?
Yes.
I love your name. You have to say it properly, though.
Sharian.
Sharian. Right?
Yes.
Well, Robin. Do you want me to call you Rob or Robin?
Robin.
Robin. Nice to meet you, Robin.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for coming on Mental Shift.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Mental Shift is all about what I just said. What did you do, and what shifted you to do what you do today? So what do you do? Because you're still doing it.
Yeah, so by education, I'm a mechanical engineer, but I never really saw myself sitting in front of a computer all day, and I was too much of a people person, so I quickly shifted into sales role pretty quickly in my career, maybe only a few years as a technical engineer, and now I'm a sales executive for Honeywell, an international company, Fortune 40 company, and I manage the sales team for all of U.S. and Canada, and also do some real estate
<You're a little laughs>
development as well. Most recently, I've been a published author and with my first book, and also a motivational speaker, coach, to tell my story.
Excellent. Now, we met very precariously, I guess. It was all by happenstance, right? I happened to be going to Orlando, and my publisher said, oh, you need to go to this book launch. And you, how did you get there?
I did a launch party, and there was someone there that invited me to this book launch. So that's how I came to it. So it was just by happenstance as well.
Well, see, and that's why I thought it was funny. It was happenstance that I was there, happenstance that you were there.
Correct.
And then while we were there, my publisher met you and said, you have to meet Michelle.
That's correct.
And then he ran to me and says, you have to meet Robin. And then I never met you there.
Yes, that's right. I ran off. I had to get some more books.
And so that's what I love to hear those kind of stories, because you never know who you're going to meet and why. Robin and I never met where we thought we would have met. We met on a Zoom call and we connected, and I'm like, I really like this man. And he's like, hey, this lady's interesting. I want to meet her. And so you came to my speaker boot camp in Colorado, and I got to learn more about you and your book. And we won't get there yet, because there's so much more about Robin you need to know, because he is quite the Renaissance man. I heard him singing the other night. And right?
That's right.
You're a man of mystery. So tell me a little bit more about why an engineer, you're in charge of sales teams, and then you went, I think I'm going to write a book. So tell us a little bit about that story, and then we're going to go more into it later.
Absolutely. So I met the love of my life. I bumped into her in LAX Airport. We bumped into each other in baggage claim, and it was love at first sight. She was a globetrotting health coach in the holistic health field from Ukraine, and I was a sales executive working for Honeywell, and we ended up getting to know each other, and within 2 months, we were married.
Wow.
And after we were married, we settled in Orlando area, and what caused the shift for me is that, unfortunately, she passed away last October.
Sorry.
It was unexpectedly. We did not see any signs for it, and we just celebrated her 40th birthday, which, you know, she was way too young to go.
Yeah, way too young.
Yeah.
But I want to back up a little bit because I know a little bit of the story. I've got inside information. When you met her and you said it was love at first sight, you told me that.
Yeah, actually, there's a big mystery there because a year before we met, Svetlana was living in Ukraine, and every winter she used to travel to India. And when she went to India, she studied with gurus and teachers there. She studied yoga, she studied herbal medicine, she studied Ayurvedic cooking. And through those, through that journey, she met a guru named Dr. Vasant Lad, who is the father of Ayurveda here in the U.S. And he's got a facility in Asheville, North Carolina. And he prophesied to her that she was going to meet me. He told her the year I was born. He told her that I would be a little bald. I'm a little bit more now. And that I would have some children from a previous marriage. And I have three beautiful daughters who were very young at the time when she met them. And so the whole time where she was asking me questions and we were getting to know each other, I thought I was just being this suave, charming, good-looking man, and she was qualifying all of the details that her guru had told her and realizing with every answer I gave her that I was the one that he had described.
Check.
Yeah.
Check. Yeah. And so that's what I thought was so funny. You're like, man, I'm really suave. This beautiful woman's got real. She's eating out of the palm of my hand. She's like, I know him. I've been told about him, right?
Right.
I wanted to share that because serendipity and the things that we don't realize are happening around us, so many people rush through their lives not realizing what's happening and miss opportunities. You and your wife, rest her soul, met serendipitously.
Yeah, I think if we both had earpieces on and were listening to music or on conference calls, we probably wouldn't have met, but we were present in that moment. We bumped into each other and we took a risk to have a conversation and go past just the traditional highs and buys.
We're about to talk about this beautiful book and where you can find it, and we're gonna find out more about why he wrote it and the things you can learn when you read it. So Robin, you met your wife in an airport, not just any little airport, LA.
Los Angeles Airport, yeah.
Humongous. And if you were not cognizant of and being present in the moment, you would have never met each other. If you were sitting on your phone,
yep,
or talking somewhere, you would have never met. Can you share more of that story of how you got together? You said you got married in 2 months. My goodness. Give us the speed reel of how we got to that.
Sure. So we bumped into each other at LAX. She was in the baggage claim area, and I was not paying attention. I was actually... My client canceled their meeting, and so that's why I was present, because all of my meetings that I had planned, the dinner, the big conference room, the trainings, everything that was supposed to happen over the next 48 hours was canceled due to their family emergency. And so my schedule became open, and I was thinking, what am I going to do with my time now? I'm staying at this boring LA airport. airport hotel. And so when I bumped into Svetlana, I asked her, where's she staying? What's she doing here? And she said she had just finished a 10-city tour, training some estheticians, which is she was in the beauty industry. She had a spa in Ukraine. And that she was doing some R&R in Santa Monica right on the beach. And I said, that sounds so much better than my boring airport hotel. And so I said, would you mind if I changed my hotel to your hotel? And we spent some time together. And because I knew she was leaving to Ukraine the next day, so I thought she might want some company. And so I took the chance, and she said, I didn't think she would say yes. You know, she's just meeting me.
What to say?
And I don't fit the profile of a normal American man, but she said yes. She's like, oh, that sounds wonderful. And I was always confused because, I thought maybe it was my boyish good looks or my charm. But she, what I didn't know is that a guru had prophesied that she would meet me a year before we actually met and bumped into each other. So everything that she was asking me and as we were discussing was confirming to her, oh my gosh, is this the guy? Is this the man that I've been waiting for? Is this the person that was talked to, that my guru talked about? And so fast forward, we had a great time in Santa Monica. And she flew back to Ukraine. I flew back to Philadelphia, and we kept in touch long distance. And then I had a big milestone happen. I was selling my house that I had built. I'm an engineer, so I had built a beautiful home in Pennsylvania. And I had to sell it through because of the divorce. And I was moving to a new house just 5 miles down the road because I didn't want to change schools for my daughters. I wanted to keep things secure for them and stable. And I mentioned to her in one of our conversations, it would be great to have a woman's touch to make this house into a home, going into this new space. And I don't need help moving anything. I've got the movers taken care of. And I thought it would go through one here, out the other. She's in Ukraine, I'm here. And we had already planned a trip to Paris in June for her birthday. So I thought there was no chance between now and June that we were going to, which was just a month away.
Robin, there was no chance she would say, come move to my hotel the first day you met her, too.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And so, of course, Svetlana being Svetlana, even though her schedule was made till the rest of the year, she was going to Singapore, Dubai, India. She was a globetrotter, traveling all over the world and training estheticians. She said in our next conversation that she moved her schedule around and she'd be in Pennsylvania. And so on the day she was supposed to show up was the day of my closing, but the city of Philadelphia got hacked. And with that, cyber attack, all e-signatures, all real estate transactions were put on hold.
No home.
So basically, I couldn't close on the sale of my house, and therefore I could not move into the new house. And everything that I had was in pods. So she was coming to an empty house, and I had this uncomfortable feeling inside myself because I didn't want the first time she came to my home to be an empty house. So I called her when she landed in
Sleeping
Istanbul.
Bags.
Literally a mattress on the floor and a couple pots and pans, and that was it because we were ready to move. And I called her and when she landed in Istanbul, and I said, I wouldn't be surprised if you want to turn around and go home because I don't have the accommodations for you. And what she told me, she said, I'm a yogi. All I need is a yoga mat, and I'm good. Don't worry about me. And so there, I was shocked by that, but she came, and although she was not able to make the house into a home, we kind of had the domestic experience.
Make the house, the relationship into a home.
Right. So she got to meet my daughter. She got to spend time with us. And instead of a structured plan of doing this, this, and this, we got to spend time, get to know each other. And it went so well that my parents, my mom has always had great intuition. Somehow they ended up coming to New York because one of our family, good family friends, was eloping in New York. And so they wanted to be there for a wedding, and they called me up because I'm in Philly, just 2 hours away from New York, and they live in Atlanta. And they said, we want to see our grandchildren. Come up here, drive up here and meet us. And of course, I, at that moment, even though I was a grown man with a mortgage, I was feeling like I was doing something naughty. And I said, I have a guest at the house. No, I can't come. And they said, what do you mean a guest? And I said, Svetlana. And when I told them a little bit about her, just the name did it, right? Svetlana. And they hung up the phone. They thought I should be taking care of the kids and not going into dating at this time of my life. And but once they cooled down, they said, hey, bring Svetlana along. We would like to meet her. If that's the only way we can see our grandkids, bring her along.
Very open-minded of them.
But I was dreading the meet. And one of the chapters in the book is dedicated to this. It's called Meet the Parents.
The Indian parents.
The ethnic Indian parents. And not just Indian parents. My dad was a minister. My mom was a nurse. And they were very opinionated. And they never held back. And I was scared. I was really worried they were going to scare this beautiful blonde, blue-eyed girl from Ukraine away. But when I asked her and I said, hey, my parents were wondering if we wanted to come up to New York, I was expecting her to say, absolutely not. It's way too soon to meet the parents. But of course, Svetlana, being her, said, okay. And there we were. We drove up to New York and we met my parents. And within 10 minutes, I mean, the conversation was really intense and I thought it would have scared anyone else away. But by the end of the conversation, she won them over and they gave us their blessing.
Well, yes, so she had an insider telling her that you were the one, so she knew it was going to work out. Yeah. It was your parents you needed to worry about, even as a grown man, you had to worry about your parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you said, so you got married 2 months later, so this is like a week or two afterwards, right?
Right.
My goodness. So what happened that next month?
So we still had the trip to Paris planned, which was just a birthday trip. You know, we hadn't really even talked about getting married yet. But since everything was going so smoothly and we had the Paris trip coming up just in a few weeks and me being this engineering background, I said, let's just go to the courthouse down the road and find out what documents do we need in case when we go to the most romantic city and the most romantic place that, you know, if the mood strikes us, we don't have anything holding us back.
Okay, that is a cliffhanger we're going to have to stop on. We'll be right back after this break, and you'll find out what happens at the courthouse.
Ang 40D, tumutulong patibayan ng vital organs, iwas sakit sa puso, at iba pang sakit.
Ubo, mabilis lumala. Kaya dapat agapan. Dapat new Solmilk's Advanced Syrup. May 2x zinc para ang ubo, imbis na lumala, tulungang mabilis mawala. New Solmilk's Advanced Syrup.
Unilab yan.
And we're back with Robin Cherian. I love saying his name. And we just learned so much about this really fast relationship. And it's beautiful because it was meant to be. And then when you left us on at commercial, you were talking about going to the courthouse to get paperwork. What happened? Because a lot has happened in your life here, and apparently you did get married, and if you see his book, it's like this thick, but there's so many lessons in it. So take it on.
Sure. So we got to the courthouse, and we were expecting just to get some paperwork to figure out what documents needed to be translated, what did we need to do. You know, she had previously been divorced, I had too, so there was paperwork that we had to bring.
Well, you're the engineer, you need to check mark things.
I needed to have my plan and make sure that it was there was nothing, no surprises. And so we went there just to collect data, and as the engineer would say. And so we sat down with the gentleman at the courthouse. He asked us a bunch of questions, like casually talking, just like we are now. And at the end of the conversation, he said, okay, I think I got everything. And we thought we were going to get a list. And instead, he printed out the marriage certificate. And literally, we both looked at each other and just said, okay. And but then, you know, the fantasy wore off after a few seconds, and we were like, wait a minute, we don't have anything to get married, and she's flying off to Ukraine in just a few days, and so there was no time to get a priest or a church or any of this, or even a...
Yeah, but Pennsylvania, I know a secret. Pennsylvania is a...
Quaker state, yeah, so there's Quaker state, and so as a result, there's no officiant needed, and as long as you have two witnesses to hear you exchange your vows, and they sign on the paperwork that the court gave us, we're married. And so all obstacles were out of the way. And the parents gave us their blessing. The courthouse gave us the marriage certificate. And on our way home from driving from the courthouse, we stopped into a ring shop, and the owners gave us two rings. So it was like the universe was putting us together, and nothing was going to stop us.
Well, her swami, her yogi told you already.
Yeah.
Well, told her, didn't tell you.
That's right. Her guru told her that she would meet me, but I don't know if he had helped to orchestrate this, but maybe he did. So there was definitely some magic dust going around. So.
Well, you got married. You ended up going to Paris.
So the Paris trip that was supposed to be just this fun birthday weekend week turned into our honeymoon.
That's beautiful and the most romantic.
Romantic city and the romantic place with the most romantic woman. And so, and she knew Paris like the back of her hand, so I had the perfect tour guide. She didn't need a map. She had been to Paris so many times, and I had never been there, so she was the perfect tour guide.
Well, then I'm going to fast forward you, because you wrote a book about her.
Yeah.
And you keep talking about her in past tense.
Yeah, so October 8th, at around 3:20 a.m., she was pronounced dead.
What happened?
I had arrived to the hospital. There was a crash cart. There was 12 people around her. We had come back from celebrating her 40th birthday and traveled over 11 cities in Europe, spent 3 weeks. I never take that much vacation, and she had to twist my arm a little bit to take that much time off.
Aren't you glad you did?
But I'm so glad I did, because that 3 weeks was amazing, wonderful, and we got to spend so much time uninterrupted. And but when she came back, she was in pain, and we couldn't figure out why. We thought it was bladder inflammation. We thought it was infectious disease, because we had been in and out of spas in Europe, and we thought maybe she just, you know, got some type of bacteria. And so we went to the OBGYN. We went to various doctors. They couldn't figure it out. They put her on a ton of antibiotics, and they eventually did an MRI ultrasound, and found what they thought was stage 4 cancer.
Oh, dear.
And it was in her reproductive system. They didn't know where. And so they wanted to do an emergency biopsy. We did the biopsy. They couldn't figure out what it was. On the pictures, it looked like cancer, but all of the testing was coming out negative. And so typically a pathology report takes about 5 to 7 days. 40 days later, we still didn't have a report. And so I started calling up everyone and found out Florida had given up on pathology and given it to University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Oh. And I was from Michigan. I was from Detroit. So I started calling up all my medical buddies and all my contacts, and I got to the head of pathology, and he had the report on his desk. And so he started looking into it and gave me a response And so otherwise it probably would have been delayed further. And he told me that there was only two cases in all of US that had this type of a situation. And the common thread was radiation exposure to Chernobyl.
Ah, she's Ukrainian.
So she was Ukrainian, and when she was 3 years old was when the nuclear reactor had its issue. And at that time, the radiation scare was really shunned down by the government there. And she was exposed when she was young, and it caused a genetic mutation that prevented any of the testing to be accurate.
Wow.
And so we didn't know. And by that time, because the antibiotics was a mistreatment, incorrect treatment, and because they didn't know what type of cancer, and because it was such a rare cancer, she had multi-organ failure and her heart stopped. She had a cardiac event.
October 8th.
October 8th. And when we got there, they did. They were trying for 45 minutes to resuscitate her. But even after 8 epis, they could not. And they would get a pulse, but it would go away.
Now, you have this in your book, among other stories. But what I want you to make sure you share, what's the name of your book?
Sundaram. Sundaram is a Sanskrit word. It's an Indian word. And it means, I didn't actually know what it meant. I was asking the universe to tell me if it was really meant for me to write this story to give me the title. And I went to bed one night and I woke up in the morning and Sundaram was in my head. And I found out it was the first name of her beauty line. And it was also the password to her electronic devices. And so I was like, what is Sundaram? It's in my head, but I don't know what it is. And it means beauty from within.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I love how she communicated with you from the other side.
Yeah,
and
she did.
When you wrote this book, why did you write this book?
So initially, I had such great experiences. I think the experiences that I had, most people would have had in 10 or 20 years. I had it we were only together for 3.5 years. So what we experienced in 3.5 years is what most people would have experienced in 10, because I work from home.
If they're lucky,
yeah, because we got hit with COVID, so we got 2 years of no travel. I didn't travel, she didn't travel, we both worked from home. So it was like almost like the universe was condensing and giving us every opportunity to spend as much time as we could together. And our life was blessed. It was the best, beautiful marriage. My children got to see what a real, working, healthy relationship looked like. It was full of love, full of passion, and I couldn't have asked for anything more. And so, although when she passed, of course, with the grief that was so overwhelming, I wouldn't wish this grief on my worst enemy. I was mad at the universe. I was upset at first. But then someone spoke something into me that changed my mindset. It was that death is something that happens in life. It's not something that happens to life. And when I heard that, it flipped a switch inside of me to gratefulness. If death was not something that happened to her, and she wasn't taken from me and ripped away from me, and I wasn't some type of victim in some kind of some madman's game, then I should be grateful, because out of all of the men she could have been with and spent the last few years of her life with, she chose me. She was in circles of billionaires. Yeah. She was in circles of people that looked like George Clooney. But she chose me, and she spent the time with me, and I was so grateful for that.
As you should be. And that's why the power of your book, and that's why I wanted you on the show, so that people would understand there is a light on the other side of grief when you realize that there's a gratitude in the time that you've spent with the person that you've lost. And that is what Robin speaks about. And he has a lot of lessons and funny stories too that are in this book. But how can they find your book?
I have a website, www.sundarambook.com. SundaramBook.com, SundaramBook.com.
Oh, excellent. And then they can go out and get that book, but look up Robin, find the book, and then if you're having problems with grief, find the light in it. It doesn't happen to you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining me on Mental Shift.
Thank you.
And
thank you for having me. Namaste.
Namaste. See you all, everybody. See you next time.